This is what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. This from the letter 1 John, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God's word today is from 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, simply verses 6 through 8, where the apostle writes, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I suppose it's only natural that today I speak again about the sports references in God's Word. Last week was about preparation. Yesterday I ran a race, so today I talk about what I've learned. But the very first thing we must all understand is that when the apostle and when I talk about running or training, we're not really talking about sports, are we? No, we're not. We're talking about life in Christ. The Apostle Paul makes this very clear in his letter to the Corinthians. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Strict training in sports works toward a crown of laurel leaves. That was the prize in the ancient games. And the apostle says we do it, that is, we followers of Jesus are in strict training for a crown that will last forever. Following Jesus is not a walk in the flower garden. It is strict training. Foot racing is one of the oldest sports in the history of humanity. A foot race is pretty much what the original Olympic Games were. And that was 700 years before Jesus. The apostle clearly saw in running an image of what spiritual life is like. It's an image that the apostle applies to himself. I find this amazing. The apostle doesn't just see running a race as a good example of what following Jesus is like. The apostle states that this is exactly what he himself is doing. He states, "I have finished the race." The apostle's not talking about boats or horses or chariots. He's talking about a life in Christ that's like running your own foot race. He will use this image in talking to other congregations, to the churches in Galatia. He asks, "You were running a good race. Who has hindered you?" The members of the Galatian church were not runners. They were followers of Jesus. And the apostle Paul will say to them, "You were running a good race. Who has hindered you?" I can speak to this topic because I've run an actual foot race and finished a race. I want you to finish. I want you to finish your race. And Jesus wants you to finish. I'm here to help you finish. Running was and is a test of strength and endurance. Those two issues the apostle emphasizes in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Do I need to say that again? Running was and is a test of strength and endurance. Those two issues the apostle emphasizes in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Now let's mention preparation for the race. I have a little paragraph in the bulletin on the word training and what the Bible says about training. It is interesting that in another image, in the image of a soldier is enlisted to fight, Paul sees us, the believers, as being in a fight, and we have to be prepared. Paul mentioned footwear. Now, I know that Paul's talking about soldiers, but soldiers also train, as athletes do, and Paul knows footwear is important for soldiers. Modern runners must consider footwear. The apostle wrote, "With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel." Ephesians 6:15. We take shoes for granted today. Everyone has shoes, more than one pair. It wasn't always that way. It may seem strange, but footwear is mentioned many times in the Bible. Jesus himself mentions footwear, especially for the work of the kingdom. I guess it must be important. But Paul is using the image, not real footwear. In this case, the footwear is a preparation or a sign of being ready. Footwear would usually mean you were going to travel. You're going to travel roads, rocky trails, hot sand. The gospel prepares you. The gospel prepares you to go. Jesus suggested that the way we are going could be rocky and steep. Jesus said the way was narrow and hard that led to life. You see, in the hill country of Galilee, footpaths are narrow and they're not smooth. It could be easy to slip on a hillside. There could be injury. So take it from a guy who finished. Now, I wasn't the fastest man. I wasn't even the fastest woman. And I'm pretty sure that yesterday I wasn't even the fastest old woman. But take it from an old guy who finished by the grace of God. You can finish too. But this brings me to a very important point about racing and about spiritual life. It's not about speed, is it? I often say to people, life is not a contest. It is more about endurance. Spiritual life is about endurance. How many winners of the Indianapolis 500 can you name? And I'll bet some of you can name winners of the Indianapolis Brickyard 400 NASCAR event. But how many of you can name the drivers who led the most laps of those races, or name those drivers who had the fastest average speed of the race? You see, those are different lists. And guess which list our Lord wants to see us on? It isn't the list of those who had the fastest average. Our Lord doesn't even wonder about who finishes first. Our Lord doesn't count how many laps we lead. What our Lord counts is whether we finish well. When my kids were in sports, after a game I would ask them, how did it go? Usually they told me who won. They told me that first. But that is not what I asked, is it? I asked, how did it go? Our culture is so tied into the win-loss, isn't it? Friends, when our life is over, Jesus is not going to ask us who won. Jesus knows that he won. The question is, how did it go? Did you finish? The apostle declares, I have finished the race. The apostle does not declare, I am the fastest, or I have the fastest average, or I was the pole sitter. No, the apostle says, I finished the race. This is what we hear in the apostle's voice. I fought, I finished, I fought, I finished. These are spiritual goals. These are spiritual activities. Notice that the apostle does not say, I've won. The apostle says, I have finished. The important value for the apostle is that we are fighters and finishers. The apostle does not mention winning. The apostle does not mention losing. The apostle says of himself, I have finished, I have fought. This is the mark of a faithful person. This is the mark of the hero, the fight, the struggle, continuing until the race is finished. And the apostle explains what the result is for those who fight and those who finish. He wrote, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous, will award me on that day. All the finishers get a crown. Not just the winner. All the finishers get a crown. The finishers. You see, the apostle knew men who did not finish. Our Lord Jesus is watching the finish line. Our Lord is not watching the stopwatch or the timing lights. The Lord is watching the finish line. And more than that, the Lord is cheering us on. And more than that, the Lord is helping us around the track. The Lord makes it possible for us to run the race at all. It is Christ in us that makes the race possible. And whether we are at the front of the pack or the very last person in the race, with the Lord's help, we are going to finish. One last comment on a Bible verse that mentions running, Isaiah 40:31. You know this verse. We have it on a banner we hang here in the sanctuary. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But hear these verses in an alternative translation. He, speaking of God, he gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Even youths faint and are weary. And young men stumble and fall. Young men fall exhausted. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord in worship, because that's what serving the Lord is, isn't it? Major parts worship. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Do we come to worship because we feel strong? Do we come to worship because we feel able? Do we come to worship because we feel empowered? That is not what the prophet Isaiah says. God gives strength to the weary. God increases the power of the weak. And who are the ones who are given strength? The ones who wait on the Lord. Those who are serving. Those who are worshiping. Friends, as a guy who just finished a race, that verse that says they will run and not grow weary, I have no idea what that verse is talking about. But as a person who worships the Lord, I have to count on the Lord God to be my strength. Friends, finish the race. Let the Lord help you around the track. Amen.